Can you say the letter C?
All right, we're gonna kick this off. I apologize now. There's a mower in the background. Not sure how long you're gonna hear that, but it is what it is. We're gonna rock with it. You got a Clint Casper solo episode coming at you. We're gonna cover a lot today. I'm gonna cover just a bunch. Finish up turkeys, some farming stuff, deer, bow setup, upcoming hunts, just a whole bunch of shit I'm gonna throw at you. Ramble on here for about 45 minutes to an hour and hopefully entertain you or make you drive your car off the side of the road. Either way, it's going to be fun. That is the most important thing, is that we're all going to have a great fucking time. So here we go. Let's kick it off. CC Hunt Files, proudly brought to you by Grizzly Coolers, code WCB, Black Ovis, WCB10. You've been hearing me talk about them each week. You see me using them. Man, can't say enough about them. The whole team at WCB loves the Grizzly Coolers, loves our Black Ovis. Some really cool stuff. By the time this episode drops, there's going to be some new clothing out. You will see me showcasing it. I'm going to be doing some photos and some different things with it to help the launch. I've been using it previously. Really, really, really loved it. Excited about getting it out to you guys. Excited about you guys getting to see it. So that's pretty cool. Check out Grizzly for all your cooler needs. Tis the season to keep beers cold, keep food cold, et cetera, et cetera. Pretty much use my stuff from Grizzly every single day, whether it's the Grip Cup or the Drifter 20. I use the 15 hard a lot when I'm in the tractors, as far as the cab and stuff, for whenever I'm planting. So got to stay hydrated. Some bush lattes on the farm and some waters, of course. With that being said, let's see. Since I was solo last time, killed a bird in Ohio. Got that done. Currently, I've got 2 days left. By the time this launches, it'll be a few weeks, but I got 2 days right now left of the Ohio season. Hopefully, going to try to get Easton on a bird. That's kind of the game plan, kind of working towards that. Really hoping I can get that accomplished. As far as my bird, pretty much picture perfect morning. Man, I've talked about turkeys a lot this year, so I don't want to spend too much time on it. Absolutely love turkey hunting, as most of you know, but at the same time, I don't want to beat, you know, a dead tom. Haha, no pun intended. Just picture perfect morning. Had that bird hot right off the roost. He went silent on me. Kind of had an idea of where those hens are probably going to go feed. Headed up to the corner of this field in the gas line and pretty much just played the game. Kept the hens talking, kept him talking, did enough to keep him intrigued and keep him wanting to come up to see what I was doing. But not enough to where it pissed the hens off completely to where they were going to take the tom the other way. You know, I kind of wanted to play that in between, that middle ground. He ended up walking by. It was like, gosh, 17 yards, I believe, and freaking popped him. So, you know, just absolutely freaking stoked. Went 3 for 4 this year, killed in Nebraska, or killed in Kansas first, then Nebraska, blanked in Colorado, killed in Ohio. So went 3 for 4. The goal was 4 for 4. Went down swinging in Colorado with my good buddy Jason Christian. Sure as hell wasn't for lack of effort. Went over and met up with Danny Ferris, owner of Ultimate Predator Decoys, and his son Lane. And man, I mean, we gave her hell. Went 3 for 4. That's the end of turkey season. Still finding mushrooms. Dad and I are hot and heavy into planting season. We've had so much rain here in Ohio. We got about 1,000 acres to plant. We got a few hundred down. Gosh, the rain, we are just so behind. And then just prices of stuff. I mean, just, you know, let's go Brandon. Like the gas prices and the fuel prices and the fertilizer. I mean, just everything right now is just fucking astronomical. So we're trying to not shoot each other, and get these crops planted. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, we're obviously not going to off ourselves over it, but it's just stressful. You know, you're trying to get these crops in, and that's part of our livelihood. And, you know, I mean, it's what we've been doing for 4 or 5 generations now, and it's just tough. Man, Ohio weather is just so different nowadays. You know, like when I was a kid, you had spring, you had summer, you had fall, you had winter, 4 seasons, right? It's just not like that anymore. It's, it's honestly, it's really crazy how the seasons have changed, and it just seems like our springs, it just rains constantly. And I mean, we just can't get into the field. You know, we no-till a lot of corn and beans, and even with that, I mean, we just can't get into them, you know. And then when you're trying to rip up ground and get ground prepared, and you know, you got to, you know, hit it with the disc and hit it with the soil finisher or hit it with the till-all, you know, it's just like, we just can't get into places. You know, you're cutting these huge tracks and cutting ruts, and it's like, well, are you really fucking gaining anything by doing that? Not really. Then you're getting stuck when you're trying to plant. You're plugging stuff up. So it's just been a freaking nightmare. But Dad and I are going to get through it. We're going to get it done. But that's kind of what's been going on right now. You know, been super busy with that and the kids and whatnot. Like I said, really trying to get Easton on a bird and get these crops in the ground. And then, yeah, it's time to just jump right into deer and stuff. I mean, right now, you know, I'm really trying to get all my clover plots in, all my, you know, all my stuff from Big Tine. You know, right now is the time where, it, you know, clover plots need mowed. If you're going to, you know, get one planted, you know, it 'tis the season. Borderline, I've got that put up. Borderline's really cool because, so what I do with the borderline is, I plant the borderline with two purposes. Number one purpose is for me to get in and get out of stands and get in and get out of food plots and little secluded spots without being seen. And what borderline is exactly what it says it is. It's a border, and it pretty much forms a wall that's going to keep deer from seeing you. Well, the other thing I like is it creates an edge. Big deer like edges. I think big bucks feel very safe when they've got a food plot or they've got a secluded corner or they got something that is boxed in with like standing corn or borderline, or it gives them another edge. You're going from the edge of a woodlot or the edge of a thicket to the edge of borderline, edge of corn, and then into a food plot or into a corner or whatever. I really feel like deer love that. So right now, trying to get all that put in, getting some stuff fertilized, getting some food plots sprayed. I've got some existing clover, foundation clover food plots from Big Tine that need sprayed. Also getting mineral out, nitro and just all that stuff, you know. I've already got some established. I'm reestablishing some right now, putting the spy points on those. You know, right now is a great time to start taking inventory. And with inventory, I think there's a lot of times where guys get caught up on, they just want velvet pictures. And for me, I am putting up cameras for a purpose. I am 110% working cameras with basically three main goals. Obviously, I want to find what bucks are around. I'm looking for what bucks potentially are going to be shooter bucks. And I'm trying to figure out certain characteristics of these deer. So I am going to start mapping out and pinpointing what bucks are hitting in daylight. How do they come into the camera? How do they leave the camera? What's the time? What's the weather? I'm going to start, you know, these bucks will start to show you what they like to do with a piece of property right now. Now, I know what everyone's going to say. Oh, that's fucking bullshit. You know, deer are more lax in the summer. They're going to show up earlier. They're going to be out later in day or earlier in daylight. They're going to stay out in daylight longer. Yes, you're correct. You are correct. I'll give you that. A buck in August will be in daylight more than a buck in October. I'll give you that. But just because that deer is out in daylight in August more than he is in October does not mean he's going to not use his nose as his number one defense. So here's what I'm saying. Start paying attention right now to how a certain buck uses a piece of property. If you never have pictures of him in daylight on a certain piece of property, or he's never coming from a certain direction, take note of that. There's a reason for that. He's not doing that because in flat out latent terms, he doesn't fucking like that spot. He doesn't want to be there in daylight, doesn't feel safe. Or if you never have him in a certain spot on your farm, chances are he's just not hanging out there, doesn't like it. These big deer will use farms in the summer like they're going to use a farm in the fall. Will they shift feed? Will they shift some bedding? Absolutely. That stuff will shift, but the general principle will still remain the same. They're still going to like certain winds in certain spots of the farm, and there's going to be certain spots they don't like because the wind is probably not at their advantage. With that being said, this can help you not waste time during season by hunting spots that you already know a big deer does not like to be in. So what I like to do is I like to rule out and rule in spots in the summertime, and then I will pinpoint my strategies for certain bucks as the season progresses and as we get closer and closer to season. But right now I want to know on this specific camera, on this specific property, in this specific area, are a lot of deer coming in from the east in daylight? Is that a trend I'm seeing? Are the bucks doing that? Is it just the does and smaller bucks? Are mature bucks doing, you know, there's all these questions, there's all these things. I'm trying to pinpoint why a big deer will want to do a certain thing on a farm and why he won't. I think that's very, very important. The minerals and all that stuff are great for your does that are getting ready to drop fawns. Then they're going to be lactating and they're going to be producing milk. It's great for antler growth. You know, obviously, like, they need these nutrients right now. Nutrients right now. See, the problem is I haven't drank 14 Busch Lights today. I've only had 11, so that's why my vocabulary is not up to par. But what it is, though, is for these whitetails, they need these nutrients right now, and it's great. You know, I try to have a couple on each one of my farms. So if I've got a 300-400-acre farm, I want to have at least four or five, if not more, mineral licks and sites and cameras on that. And like I said, I'm trying to help out the herd. I'm looking for inventory. And most importantly, I'm trying to figure out what these deer are doing, why they're doing what they're doing. I think that's a huge key to my success early season. And everyone knows I love early and late. Patterns kill big deer. Honestly, I'm not a rut guy. I'm an early and late guy. It's when I kill most of my bucks. So for me, the pattern game and trying to figure that out, you know, if I can kill a buck in the first week of season, absolutely so be it. I'll do it every year. And then I'll go back to hunting mule deer and elk. So that's just kind of like, that's just kind of what I do. That's realistically what I love to do, and that's kind of my game. I feel like realistically, you know, that's something that I figured out over the years, that if I put a ton of effort in the summer into figuring out a buck or a couple specific bucks and why they're doing what they're doing, that really helps me later on. If I lose track of them in the fall, let's say it's mid-October, I lose them. I know they're around, but I've lost them. But I know the wind direction they like. I know the areas they like. I can immediately go to those areas with cameras and start trying to find them. And usually I can find them quick, because I already know the areas. I already know, okay, this buck likes this wind direction. This buck does not like this wind direction. I always have pictures of him on a north or an east wind on this farm. I never have pictures of him on a south or a west. So for whatever reason, south and west winds, he's not a big fan of being here or being here in daylight. But on the east and north, he is. That's the kind of stuff that I think really has separated me from my old self when it comes to maturing as a big buck hunter, is I pay attention to details and I'm very meticulous. I'm very calculated. I've learned to scout more, hunt less, and be very, very, very meticulous. Now, once I find a buck and I'm on a buck's heels, oh, you bet your sweet ass, I'm going to hunt every day I possibly can. I'm not going to hunt reckless and abandoned, but I'm going to hunt very aggressive and very hard with very strategic game plans. And a lot of those plans are formed in the summertime. So for me, this is a very crucial time of the year. I like to have all my cameras deployed. I got the cell cams on. I got my older cameras on. You know, I want to get inventory. I want to figure out what's going on. To me, it's very important. Shooting my bow a ton. You know, we got the shoot coming up here in a few weeks. Looking forward to that. You know, I'm getting this new dialed Arxis sight. Love that thing. You know, absolutely can't get enough of that sight. You know, I got the new Matthews I'm rocking, the V3X, you know, I mean, and it's just been a killer combination. Man, just absolutely loving it. Shooting the Pierce Tours this year, AAE veins, still sever broadheads. You know, some of the stuff has stayed the same, but some things are different. But you know, every year is different with a new bow setup, and it's just super crucial for me to right now be working on that skill too. So kind of like March, April, I'm chasing turkeys. When I do get to shoot, I shoot a lot of blank bale. May, June, I try to set a sight tape, you know, out to 120, 130, depending on my arrow for that year, and depending on what I'm running. Like this year, I'm right around 438, 440 grains. So I'll probably be able to get out to around that like 120, 130 mark before I shoot four very low profile veins, so I can stretch out as far as possible. I love to practice long distance. you know, you shoot at 110, 120, 130, and it makes those 60, 70, 80 yarders if need be. It makes them a lot easier. You know, yardage is just a number. You know, it's still the same principle of put the pin on a spot, pull, 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 push, 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 whatever you tell yourself, let the bow do its job, let you do your job. But it's a different sight picture, it's a different window, and that creates a lot of anxiety for people. So I try to practice at longer distances and get comfortable with my pin damn near covering up the whole target, and that's okay. I'm still picking a spot, I'm still staring at a spot, and I'm getting comfortable with the anxiety of, oh man, I can't see exactly. That's okay. I'm trusting on my form, I'm trusting on basically my instincts to take over at that point. Let the bow do its job, I'm going to do my job. So I'm definitely doing a lot of practicing with my bow setups right now. A lot of cardio, a lot of weighted pack stuff. Trying to hit the gym a couple days a week. You know, that stuff's important. Just overall health. But like for me, like I'll have two or three mule deer hunts, probably two elk hunts, going to Africa, which isn't going to be super strenuous, but still, like I'm going to lose, you know, a very critical time in my training is my last month, and I'm going to lose like 12 days of that because of Africa. So I really, really need to be ahead of the game come August 1st this year with my shooting, with cardio, with workouts, just discipline. You know, discipline alone, discipline on the mountain starts at home. Getting up early, staying out late, you know, tough days, tough nights. I mean, that all starts with right here at home. You know, there's a lot of days where I get home from working and I got the kids and then put them to bed, or I don't have the kids, but I got to go farm. And then I know, like, okay, I need to get to the gym. And I mean, I'm not going to sit here and bullshit you. Like, it's a lot of nights I don't want to fucking go. I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't want to go. A lot of mornings I get up, I don't want to get out of bed and do 50 pushups. I do 50 pushups in the morning, start the day, 50 pushups at the end before bed to end the day. There's a lot of mornings and evenings I don't want to do that. I'm fucking tired. I'm sore. I can make every excuse under the sun. But here's the deal. Not only is that making me stronger physically, it's making me stronger mentally, because there's going to be moments where it's going to be brutal. It's going to be tough on these hunts. Last year, ran myself ragged on the mountain. You know, I was in Utah 50 some days, Wyoming, you know, Colorado, killed my buck on one of the most brutally cold days I've ever hunted. It took mental toughness and discipline to do what I did last year, and I pride myself on that. I don't pat myself on the back, but I pride myself on knowing that I have done all I can do to prepare. I've got myself mentally and physically disciplined to hunt in elements like that, and I've conditioned myself to basically be uncomfortable when it's really fucking, to basically be comfortable when it's really fucking uncomfortable. Conditioning your body to perform when it's shitty conditions or it feels shitty, that's tough. And on the mountain, you know, there's a lot of days where it's like that, and that's just something that I've got to do. It's just part of how I live my life. It's just part of what I do. It's just something that I like to do. I like to stress myself, my body, and then that way when I'm in stressful situations on hunts and stuff, it's not a big deal. You know, my body's used to it. I'm mentally used to it. So all that stuff, you know, the just discipline on shooting and discipline on, you know, I love to blank bail. I love to work on form. Once end of June, July hits, it's all yardages. You know, I've got my sight tape by then. Usually like the last week of July, then the whole month of August, I'm usually shooting 80 or 90 plus every single day. Those are the ranges. It's deep bombs. The week or two before season, it's one arrow, random yardages, one arrow in the morning, one arrow in the evening, because that's realistically, like, that's what you're going to get. 48 yards, 72 yards, 17 yards, 91 yards, 42 yards, 105 yards, like that. That's what you're going to have. One arrow, there is no warm up. And for me, that's honestly what I'm looking for, is I'm looking for those opportunities, one opportunity to fucking bend the limbs back. And for me, I've got to be prepared for that. So I can't rely on, well, it takes me a shot or two to kind of get the kinks out. No, like I've got to be able to perform. It might be day eight and I'm grinding it out and I'm hunting a buck and I'm at 13,000 feet and I'm fucking killing myself every day trying to figure him out. Finally get my opportunity. It's 56 yards. I got to make it happen now. I don't get a practice arrow. I don't get to shoot a field tip. Like, it's locked, cocked, and loaded. We're bending the limbs fucking back. Here we go. Yeah, I get goosebumps just talking about it, just thinking about it. But that's what I live for. I live for those moments. I live for that time when the spotlights are on and it's fucking showtime. You got to be prepared. So I try to really make sure I shoot a lot of one arrow groups, you know, in that last month at very random yardages, uphill, downhill, quartering to, quartering from my knees, standing, elevated platform. You know, I'm trying to mimic anything I might possibly encounter. And I think it's very important to not only mentally and physically be ready, but in a shooting situation to be ready. I also like to practice drawing my bow, settling in, pretending something's not right, and letting down. I think that's something that a lot of people forget to do. It's okay to let down. Do not think you're being a fucking pansy or you're being a quitter by letting down. If your shot's not right, if you have any doubt in your mind, your mental game, your subconscious, everything is fucked. The second you go from I'm going to shoot this arrow to I don't know, you're fucked. You need to let down. Do not try to just push your way through that. I've had to let down on animals before. Biggest deer I've ever shot in my life, 191-inch buck, 21 yards extra in a fucking food plot. I could not keep my pin steady, could not keep it on him. I knew I had lost train of thought. I had lost subconscious. I had lost it all, and I fucking let down. Why? Because that's what I had to do. I knew 100% in my mind, you got to let down and regroup and start this all over again. Is it taking a chance? Sure is. But I'd rather take a chance in him spook than to wound or than to totally blow an opportunity because I was not disciplined enough to let the bow down. Guys, practice it. Practice letting down slow. Practice letting down easy. Practice letting down, refocusing, regrouping to get your breath again. Come back to full draw and make a shot. It fucks with your head when you have to let down, but that's because you let it fuck with your head. It's a reset button. It's a restart button. Look at it as that. Don't look at it as it's a negative. It's not a negative. You were disciplined enough to not shoot a bad shot. Don't be that guy that goes out and shoots a bad shot and wounds an animal or hits him in the shoulder or fucks up an opportunity because you were not disciplined enough to let down and start over. That's your job as a bow hunter. So just keep that in mind. I don't think that's talked about enough. I don't think a lot of people practice that, but people do need to do that. Practice letting down. Practice letting down slow. Pretend you've got an animal in front of you and you need to let down, but you've got to do it very slowly. These are things we don't think about, but we need to, and we need to talk about it because let's be honest, shit happens. Sometimes even someone like a Brian Barney or a Remy Warren or whatever, I've heard them guys talk about it. They get in the moment. They let their mind overthink. Something's wrong. We got to let down. They're not going to shoot a bad arrow. Can't do it. You got to be disciplined enough not to do that. So practice letting down. Like I said, it's not a bad thing. Far as hunts go, so, you know, turkey season's over. I got the shoot coming up. We'll have Africa with the gang, which is going to be really kick-ass. And then right off of there, I've already got a mule deer tag from Utah. Should have a mule deer tag in Colorado. Should have a Colorado elk tag. So that's basically like back-to-back hunts. Should have a Utah elk tag. And then if I don't kill on my mule deer tag early, I can go hunt the rut. So I'm going to have two mule deer tags and two elk tags, along with Africa thrown in there and all my whitetails. So I've got a shitload of hunts coming up. And, you know, all those hunts are going to be different challenges. They're going to present different things. You know, it's going to be a different world for each and every one of them. But for me, the biggest thing is just being prepared, and being ready to go. You know, I know a lot of you are waiting on, you know, the draws to come out. You're waiting on tags to come out. You're waiting to see what you're going to get, where you're going to hunt, where you're going to go. You know, once you figure out where you've got tags for, immediately start making a plan. Set yourself up a couple days a week to devote an hour or two in the evening or the morning or whatever to getting on Google Earth, to get on Onyx. You know, go to Go Hunt or Hunt and Fool or whoever you're subscribed with and talk to people. Get on the forums. A lot of times what I'll do is I'll go in reverse order. You know, once I draw a unit, I will go and look at where everyone talks about hunting in this unit. And I'll start looking at drainages or canyons that are offset from those spots. You know, these are the hot spots that everyone says that, you know, everyone goes, this is where all the traffic is. Okay, chances are there's going to be a lot of people there. So I'm going to do the opposite. I'm going to try to find maybe some hidey holes or some spots that's close to there but off the beaten path, in hopes that deer and elk and game have moved over into these more secluded areas because they've gotten pressured off these ridge lines and off these really big basins or these really famous spots in the unit, or et cetera, et cetera. But start putting these plans together. You know, we draw these tags in May and in June, and the hunts start in August, September. Guys, that's not very long. Put these game plans together. Don't let this shit slip through the cracks. Make sure you've got plans. Make sure you've got multiple things that you can fall back on. You know, make sure you're set up to not only truck camp, but if you need to pack in or you need to hike in and do a spike camp, or you need to camp off your back, you know, make sure you're familiar with your gear. Make sure you've got everything figured out. Don't be the guy that goes up there and doesn't know how to boil water on the side of a mountain to eat because he's never run his jet boiler, he's never run his MRS. You know, make sure you're familiar with your gear. You know how to set your tent up. You know how to filter water. And some guys right now are like, well, Christ, this is all basic knowledge. But you would be blown away by the amount of people that I've run into that never have set a tent up until the hunt starts. And they'll message me, or I'll get these questions, or these people will tell me, yeah, man, I never knew how to blow up my air mattress and get my pad set until on the hunt, and it was middle of the night, and man, what a clusterfuck. And I'm like, you didn't think to set this stuff up in your yard? Like, I set all my stuff up in my yard multiple times a summer. I'm looking for holes, I'm looking for tears, anything I need to fix. I'm re-waterproofing tents, I'm checking sleeping bags. Like, I mean, I'm going out through all this shit like a fine-tooth comb, because once you get on the mountain, this is it. This is all you got. Even your whitetail hunts and stuff, you know, get your Novik stands and sticks out and make sure bolts aren't loose or rusty. You know, make sure all your shit snaps together and you can be as efficient and quick and quiet as you possibly need to be. You know, don't be that guy that waits till right before bow season to get his stands and sticks and all of his, oh, where's my bow hangers? Where's my bow ropes? Like, you know, get all this shit figured out right now. You know, right now it's May 19th. I'm recording this. It's going to be August 1st before you know it. And for a lot of you like myself, my bow season pretty much starts August 1st every year. I've got hunts in August. This year I've got the Africa trip, then I've got Utah, and then as soon as the calendar flips to September, I've got Colorado deer, hopefully, Colorado elk, hopefully, and Utah elk. I mean, that's 5 hunts within 60 days. You know, this shit comes up quick. So don't be resting on your laurel, you know, and thinking, oh, well, my stuff worked good last year, you know, it should be good this year. No. Scouting, planning, your gear, break your boots in. I mean, oh my gosh, you wouldn't imagine how many people right now are coming to me about the new Crispy, the Altitudes, and the Colorado 2s, and I fucking love these boots. I've been testing them, been running them in turkey season, absolutely love them. Here's the deal, though. Break them in. They're a great boot, but like every boot, you got to break them in. Don't buy a pair of boots August 1st to go on a hunt, put 5 hours in them, and think that that's good enough. Get them broke in. Hike with them. Bike with them. Jog with them. There again, get familiar with your stuff. As far as the podcast goes, you know, gosh, can't thank you guys enough. We got some really exciting stuff coming up from CC Hunt Files. Can't wait to share it with you. Can't quite drop any bombs yet, but there's some big things happening with us there. You know, Kurt and Eric's busting their ass, and Doug and the rest of the gang. We got the shoot coming up. Really looking forward to that. Hoping to see a lot of you out there. Hopefully there's going to be a ton of familiar faces and new faces at the shoot. Always look forward to that. You know, one of my favorite times of the year, honestly. Get everybody together. It's been a while since show season, since I've got to see everybody. So I'm really looking forward to coming out there, and it's going to be great. But the podcast itself, you know, Kurt's really busting his ass full time as far as with, you know, with the YouTube and the content, you know, getting out just video clips and trying to put as much content as we can out for you on, you know, the DeerCast, as far as the Drury series, my series, the original WCB. I mean, you know, we're trying to get you as much stuff as we possibly can, and we can't thank you enough. I mean, the amount of merch sales every week that Eric does, the boxes and stuff that he ships, it honestly blows my fucking mind. Stickers, hats, shirts, sweatshirts, koozies, etc. I mean, it's crazy in show season to see it, but then outside of show season, just random people ordering stuff, it's wild. Yeah, we just can't thank you enough. I mean, you know, we got some big things coming, some changes coming, you know, different things gonna happen within all three series, and we're excited to bring all that to you and just, you know, keep things going. And hey, if you guys have stuff with the series, like, you know, like this series or you know, the Drury Deercast series, or the original series, like, hey, like, get a hold of me or Eric or Kurt or Doug. You know, if you've got ideas or you got a guest you want to listen, you know, you want to hear on, or you've got a topic that you want us to discuss, I mean, hey, we're all about it. Like, we want to give you guys what we can give you guys to best suit your needs, keep you entertained, you know, get you through the work day, get you through a bad day with your old lady, get you through a hectic drive home with your kids screaming in the back and fucking apple juice flying and chicken nuggets hitting you in the face while you're trying to drive. Like, hey, I get it. I got two little shitheads myself that I love to death. So, I mean, I get it, you know, but that's what we're here for. You know, we just can't thank you guys enough. I hope everybody had a great turkey season. I've seen a lot of successful hunts and a lot of kids out there and a lot of wives, and man, just freaking love to see it. You know, just a fun time of year, man, with fishing and hunting and shooting and just getting ready for season. You know, like I said, it's not going to be that far off, I love this time of year. There's just so much going on. You know, we talked about velvet. We got velvet growing. Like, there's nothing better than big buck velvet picks. I mean, absolutely love that, you know, and it's just one of those times of the year where I think we all need to slow down and really embrace it, you know. I mean, really put yourself 100% into shooting your bow. When you're putting cameras and minerals out, really think about your setups and really think about, okay, how do I want to dictate this piece of property? What do I want these cameras to do besides just put a big deer in front of them and look at a big velvet buck? What do I want to gain from them? That's what I try to ask myself with every camera. And I know we talked about this, but I kind of forgot to mention this, and I want to come back to it real quick before I wrap things up. Have a plan and a goal for every camera. Not just, okay, I want to get a picture of a big deer, but what are you trying to rule in or rule out? You trying to figure out on a certain wind what this buck's doing, or is this camera going to tell you where he's bedding or where he's feeding? Or try to have a plan of attack. And I think if you look at cameras with each one has a different plan, each one has like a each one's like a little soldier for you, basically, and here's his mission, or here's his little plan of attack. That's kind of how I like to set my cameras up. Is I want each one to tell me something, or to show me something, or to provide me with something that is then going to put information back into me of either yes or no. Either way, I'm learning something. Either way, I'm figuring something out. I think that's very important to look at it like that, because that allows us to, like I said, figure out a big deer, figure out what he's doing or what he's not doing, and then that narrows things down. And like I said, that might help you later on. You know, the big eight, the buck I called the giant eight that I killed last year, hunted him hard early season, knew what he liked, knew where he liked to bed. When he disappeared and then come back, because of my summer knowledge, because of that early season knowledge, because of what my camera showed me from like end of May, early June on, I knew what south-facing slope that buck was probably bedding on, where he was bedding, how to get in and how to get out. And that is what led me to hanging and banging one night and killing that prick, was my prior knowledge. I knew how I could get into that area and get out undetected. I knew where I needed to set up. I knew damn near within probably 50 yards by 50 yards of pinpointing exactly the little bench and the little spot where he was going to be bedded. I was not right in there with him that night, but after seeing how he come up, seeing where he come from, I would almost guarantee you that I could have walked over that night and been within 50 yards of where he was bedded, like the spot I had in my mind. I bet you he was right there or within 50 yards of it. I almost guarantee it. But that kind of knowledge and all that was gained from summertime and really paying attention. I think a lot of people think, oh, summertime, let's just look for big deer, let's just look at velvet. And like I said, don't be fooled by that. Have a rhyme and a reason. Have a plan. Make sure you're paying attention to those details. When you're shooting your bow, don't just be shooting your bow. When you're working out, don't just be working out. Put yourself in scenarios. You know, work out with a purpose. You're packing out a bull. You're stressing. Your body's stressed. You're stressed. You know, practice that. Usually once or twice a week, I put 70, 80 pounds in my pack. and I go do a hike after I work out. I'm fucking tired. I'm stressed. My muscles are sore. My muscles are stressed. My back hurts. But what that does is that gets my body comfortable being uncomfortable. It gets me mentally, and I know I'm reiterating myself, but guys, this is fucking important. I live and die by this, and I've learned it from the best. You know, I mean, this is what all of your quote unquote, the fucking goats in the industry, in the bow hunting world, your Brian Barneys and those guys, this is what they do. This is their lifestyle. This is how they're living life. And I have molded mine into them as far as what they're doing because it works. Success speaks for itself. These guys go out and fucking kill it. They're mentally and physically prepared for everything. That's what I want to be. That's what I strive to be. That's my goal. Hanging stands. We haven't talked about that yet, but here's the deal, guys. Don't be afraid in the summertime. I know it's hot. I know there's bugs, and everyone talks about, oh, yeah, I'm going to get stands hung. I'm going to get stuff ready. Yeah, we say that, then we don't do it. Guys, get ahead of the game. Take 1 or 2 days a month in the months of May, June, July. That's only 6 fucking days. Set 6 days aside for limbs, for cameras, for stands, and let's say you only get 5 or 6 sets hung in that time for like early season or October. That's 5 or 6 spots already ready to go, preset. Now, if you're like me, I hang spots, and then I also hang and hunt a lot. If I can go into a spot and I've already got to stand there, great. If not, hey, I got 4 longs or 4 double minis and a Novix Hilo fucking ready to go. Kill a lot of deer that way. I kill a lot of deer out of that setup. I really enjoy that. I really like to hunt like that. But here's the thing, though. It's not always going to be a lock-on stand hunt for me. It's not always going to be just walk in, climb up, hunt, and climb on down and then leave. You know, I like to hang and hunt. I like to be mobile. I like to move around. I like to go in with a purpose, come out with a purpose. So keep these things in mind. Don't let this stuff get behind. Don't let this stuff come up and have it make excuses for yourself. The beer is still going to be there. The barbecues will still be there. The parties will still be there. It's not going to kill you to miss a little bit of this shit to go get some stuff done. And trust me, you'll be happy you did, and you'll be thankful you did. And it puts you ahead of that eight ball, not behind it. And that's where we all want to be. I'm telling you, because once hunting season comes, no one fucking cares about barbecues then. No one cares about the pool party that you were a little bit late to. No one cares about your old lady being a little bit mad because you were a little late getting to the kids party. You got there at 5 instead of 4. Trust me. And just like our bumper sticker says, you can't kill a big buck if your wife sucks. Okay, that fucking it is what it is. All right, you know, no offense to all the cool ladies out there, but the ones that suck, fuck. I mean, that's why your husband ain't killing fucking big bucks, or that's why he left. Now he is killing big bucks, and you're out fucking looking for another fucking dude. I don't know. I don't know what the hell you're doing, but your man left because you can't kill big bucks if your wife sucks. Okay, so just don't be that fucking bumper sticker. Don't be the girl that bumper sticker screams to. I had a couple people message me, actually. 2 of them that were upset. Women, highly upset. And not trying to be mean, but if you're triggered by that bumper sticker or you feel like we're attacking you, I'm not trying to be an asshole, but you probably are that sticker. So possibly look yourself in the mirror, maybe change. And flip side, if you're a dude right now that's getting triggered because I'm talking about guys that are behind the eight ball, not shooting their bow, not getting stands hung, not getting their sight tape fixed, not doing this, not getting to the gym, and you're that guy that's sitting back going, oh, fuck him. Oh, yeah, I ain't got time for all that shit. Hey, I'm not being mean, but you're getting triggered for a reason, too. So if you feel like I'm talking about you, look yourself in the mirror, check yourself. Don't be that guy. I do this shit all the time. I check myself at the door, leave the ego at the door, look in the mirror. Hey, what do I need to get better at? What do I need to work on? Is it being a dad? Is it helping my dad on the farm? Is it my work? Is it my writing? Is it my podcast? Is it what do I need to do to help Kurt more? What do I need to do? You know, whether it's a relationship or I don't give a shit what it is. Look yourself in the mirror, though. If this shit is triggering you, it's because I'm speaking the truth. And you're behind the eight ball right now. Get out from behind the eight ball. Get the bow out. Make sure you're making time with the wife and kids this summer. That's also very important. I talk about making time to go do the hunting and stuff. And hey, summer's one of my favorite times. The boys are out of school. you know, I got a lot of stuff I love to go do with them, fishing and camping, and I think we got a trip to Colorado we're going to do this summer, and I just got a bunch of stuff. I can't wait. You know, make sure you're not neglecting that time. Get your kids out there. Have them scout with you. My boys love to scout with me. They love to look for velvet bucks, love to get the loophole binos out, love to hang trail cameras. They know not to face them towards the sun. They know how to turn them on. They know how to check them. You know, they're a part of all that stuff. You know, they help me hang stands. They help me carry stuff in. You know, they love to watch old dad climb up in a freaking tree with a safety harness and, of course, and hang a stand. And you know, they're watching and they're learning, you know, make them a part of that stuff. Take your old lady with you. You know, maybe she doesn't hunt, but hey, grab a six pack and go out and do some glass and do some scouting. You know, sit in your truck with the windows down and the music on and have some beer. You know, make it. It's not all about just you doing it by yourself. You know, we joke around, oh, you can't kill a big buck if your wife sucks. Okay, well, sometimes, you know, you're creating this stigma where you're doing all this shit by yourself. Hey, include your wife, include your kids. And if you're a wife that hunts and your husband doesn't, well, hey, I feel like you're kind of married to a wife, not a husband, but that's besides the point. Include him. You know, maybe he doesn't hunt, but you do. Well, include him. You know, say, hey, come on, let me show you what this is all about, you know, because there are women out there that they're hunters and the husband's not. Well, make sure you're giving them an opportunity to include them in all this stuff. With that being said, hope you guys are all having a safe summer. Hope to see you all at the shoot. I've rambled long enough for tonight. I think I've covered about all I need to cover. Fuck, I want to say these solo podcasts are getting easier, but man, I mean, I'm going to keep doing them. They are tough. You know, we're closing in on like 45 minutes here of me just talking into a mic by myself. And I do enjoy doing them. God, if they suck, tell me they suck. If you like them, tell me you like them. I'm trying to, you know, get better at them and whatnot. It's something that I want to get really good at, you know, because I do think it's cool to kind of listen to someone dive into their own mindset, as scary as that might be for someone to be like, wow, we're going to dive into Clint's head, which that could be a dark, scary fucking clusterfuck mess, but regardless, I think it's fun sometimes. So anyways, can't thank you all enough. Gosh damn, you know, the support and everything I'm getting from the podcast and that WCB's getting from all three series, we just can't thank you enough. And like I said, get out there, get your scouting done, get your stuff ready for your Western hunts. Don't forget your whitetails. Be shooting that bow. Have fun with the wife and kids, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You guys know what to do. Don't fucking settle. Have a good summer. I got some banging ass freaking guests coming up. You guys don't want to miss them. Make sure you're staying tuned. I've got some really great elk, mule deer, some summer whitetail stuff, some trail cam stuff. I mean, I got a bunch of really good stuff pertaining to what's in season and what's coming up, coming down the pipes. So I'm really excited to bring all that to you guys. And like I said, fucking love y'all. Can't appreciate you enough for the support. Don't forget, tell me what you want to hear more of, less of, who you want on, who you don't. DM me, get a hold of Kurt, get a hold of Doug. He'll probably be drinking with a hot blonde or brunette, but he might answer you. I don't fucking know. Get a hold of one of us, let us know. I love you. Talk to you soon. We'll see you next week.
Can you say the letter C? CNC Hunt Files.